Welcome to Rebel Health Radio, bringing the best in alternative and integrative medicine to your ears.
Hi everyone, it's Patricia Walby, Alchemy Therapies, and I just want to do a little talk today on informed consent and the importance of it and why it's actually such a political hot potato at the moment and causing a huge political storm in the UK. Because we've just been informed that something like 80,000, some people say it's 100,000 staff in the NHS have decided they would rather lose their jobs than be forced to have the vaccine. And that's a very, very interesting thing because most of these people are highly trained. They are medically trained. So we're talking top doctors and consultants, nursing staff, as well as all the support staff. And you know, they go through an expensive training, a lot of these people. So why is it that they feel so passionate? And what is this principle of informed consent? And what does it mean? So first of all, informed consent is not just about asking the patient, are you happy to have this? All right, that's not what informed consent means. It actually has four basic principles. And I want just to show you, well, talk to you about what those are. So first of all, they have to have explained the nature of the procedure. Now, I would say that that's definitely being met. You know, this injection will, you know, might make your arm sore. It's going to last, you know, less than a minute. That kind of thing. It's just a very basic understanding of what you're about to have. The risks and benefits of the procedure. Well, I think the benefits have been hugely stoked. We do know that it does benefit certain risk groups, the over 50s, particularly if they're overweight or obese, if they have diabetes, heart conditions, and other risk factors, but they're the main ones. And obviously, it's going to benefit people whose immune systems perhaps are not very healthy from getting very sick. But the actual accurate benefit has not been really talked about so well because we've confused relative risk and absolute risk here. So we haven't really discussed the risks very well because there are significant side effects for a minority of people. Some people indeed have died and others have had heart inflammation, brain inflammation. There's been some evidence of complications. So that I don't think is being met. Reasonable alternatives, absolutely not. We haven't ever discussed an alternative. We haven't discussed the importance of boosting natural immunity or indeed what you can do at home to treat symptoms, particularly in the first few days of actually killing viral particles in the nasal mucosa, which is possible to do at home. And in fact, makes a huge difference to the ongoing symptomology. If you can kill off the virus in its early stages before replication, you're actually going to reduce the risk of hospitalization hugely. But that hasn't been anything that we've heard or talked about. And in fact, has been actively suppressed, in my opinion. So that hasn't been met. Risks and benefits of alternatives. Well, since we haven't really discussed the alternatives, I don't think you've had either the risks or the benefits of them. In fact, people have often been left to get absolutely terribly sick before being admitted to hospital and then being put on ventilation, which isn't always it's hardly ever the right treatment. And then a final one actually mentioned here is assessment of the patient's understanding of these elements. And I just don't think there's been the time in this mass drive to inoculate, to allow people to really understand. And because they're not hearing alternatives and they're not hearing a balanced point of view, I'd say we're really failing on this hugely. And so it isn't just a random idea, informed consent. It's the whole basis of medicine. And it was designed to protect patients from the kinds of experimentation we saw perhaps in less enlightened times. When we look at perhaps the history of World War II and some of the experimentation that went on there, and also even up until the 1970s, we were seeing experimentation on low-income groups. You know, we sometimes saw it on indigenous groups in certain countries, where these people were deemed less valuable, and therefore they could be taken into trials without actually informed consent. And that actually happened. That's the truth. I'm not making this up. So we saw how science can be corrupted. And I think that's important to know. And so a lot of the people that are currently being asked to have the vaccine mandate are people that understand this very, very well and have a huge degree of investment in this idea. And they are moral people. You know, I've seen a lot of comments in the press when this has been reported, you know, selfish, they've been called selfish and illogical and stupid. And, you know, the basic feeling stoked by the media is that this is a silly idea, that they, you know, they're making such a fuss and they should just get on and do it. But it sets a dangerous precedent, as a lot of people have said. So if everybody has to have an intervention, regardless of risk or benefit, what does that say for every other intervention that the health service provides? You know, you're going to have, I don't know, heart surgery, and, you know, you're not even looking at whether you need it or not. You're going to have endless drugs, regardless of the benefit. It just doesn't make sense. And so I can really understand, and really my heart goes out to people who have these very strong value systems, that we are going down a dangerous road. And it isn't simply a case that they're stupid or they're selfish. And these are some of the most caring people in our society. And they have worked so tirelessly hard through the whole of the coronavirus epidemic. And we've seen, you know, in dire circumstances where they weren't always protected themselves, they didn't have the right PPE and so on. And so I think it's utterly dreadful to, you know, accuse them of being selfish, really. And my view is that we need a much better discussion of what's actually needed in terms of a risk-benefit analysis of how to treat things like coronavirus and any other future viral mutations, which, you know, we're going to have, because it's already kind of been said that, you know, we're putting viral replication under pressure. The way we're living is certainly creating new mutations, and the way we're treating this current one is most certainly driving further mutations. So we know that we're going to have more experiences like the one we've just gone through. And if we can't learn from our experience, then what are we? And I would like to see more compassion in the world right now. I'd like to see less of this division between us and them, whichever us you are and whichever them. You know, the idea that we've all got different value systems. So some of us are doing things for different reasons. You know, we may regard the idea of having natural immunity, as I do, as being sacrosanct, that the body has much more intelligence than any man-made intervention would ever have, because it's complete, it's biologically complete, and it takes into account variation and change, which unfortunately most vaccines don't. You know, they have to be reformulated each time. And unless we're going down the road that everyone is going to be vaccinated all the time, then I really feel we're in dangerous territory. And so I fully support the NHS staff for making this very valid point. And I would encourage all of you to think more carefully about judging others who disagree with you, that we have to be more tolerant in society and understand that people are going to have different views. So I hope that was helpful in just sort of highlighting what's going on. And I know we've got a very crucial time coming up, because we've got basically 2 weeks for this mandate before it becomes essential, and therefore before these mass, some people are calling them resignations, but of course they're ultimately, they're being given the sack because they're being given no choice. There's no choice in this. So, this mass sacking of people from our health service, which is already struggling, just seems madness to me. Utter, utter insanity. But here we are. And until we want and demand a better way of, looking after ourselves, of showing compassion in society, of treating each other with respect, of looking after ourselves and our earth and our relationship to nature and all of these things that I've talked about extensively over the last 2 years and more, I think we're just going to keep having these crises and knee-jerk reactions. So anyway, that's my view, for what it's worth. I have, of course, worked in medical education. I was also in clinical research, so it's not that I'm an uninformed person, and I have myself been trained in informed consent. So I thought it was worth you understanding that. And also, next time you're offered something, to make sure you have read the patient information leaflet, which should accompany it. I don't think anybody has read one for the current vaccines, because I don't think they're there. So that's another important point. So informed consent is really essential. Okay, folks, take care. Go well. Bye for now.
Hey, hope you enjoyed listening to Rebel Health Radio. Do subscribe and look forward to catching you soon.